You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to conversation number 33 of the Christoph Lewis Podcast, where I have conversations with amazingly inspirational people, and today is nothing short of that. Conversation number 33 sees us breaking out into whole new horizons, into the UFC, with the first UFC cut woman in history, the one and only, the great Swayze Valentine. She is here with us today, and I was blown away by this conversation. She is beyond inspirational. She is the epitome of what this channel stands for. Going out there, there is nobody else doing what she is doing. She went out there and she is doing it. She did not take no for an answer. She did not do it overnight. She worked her ass off to do what she wanted, and there wasn't even an option to do it. She made it herself. This is incredible. It inspires me to share her story with you, with other people that think that maybe something is impossible, but here is this person that is doing something that hasn't been done before, whether it's gender stereotypes or if this just somebody saying that you can't do something because of XYZ, but no, you can go out there, you can make it happen. Swayze made it happen. And I'm jumping on board. Let's talk to her. She's awesome. Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Swayze. Now, first of all, that is a badass name. And I know I've read and I've seen their interviews and I've read the, you know, written interviews and seen you on, you know, TV and, you know, national news. And not only are you blowing up, and that's actually how I saw you, was on TV, and I was like, I have to talk to this person. Your name got me, and I was like, this is awesome. This girl is awesome. This woman, what she is doing is incredible, and it's so breakthrough. You are the first cut woman of the UFC. Like, that's mind-boggling. And I know, like, you're grinning ear to ear, and I know, like, this is a more recent thing. You started in UFC 170, you did 171, and then I believe you're going to Argentina, correct, here shortly, in like 2 weeks or a week and a half. And like, these great things are happening. But before we get into anything, and I know I've read it before, so I know that you started this in 2006. This has been a long journey for you, and this is a huge pillar and a huge foundation of this podcast. Is, hey, you can go do what you want, but it's not going to happen overnight. So when I read about you and I heard about you and I heard you speak, I knew I wanted you on here, and I knew I had to share your story and so other people can hear it. So thank you so much.
Gosh, thank you so much. So important. For no matter how far your dream may feel like it's unattainable, or that maybe you just can't do it because it's like what men do or what women do. And it's just, I'm so thankful to have all these different platforms to, you know, share my story. So give other people inspiration and hope to know that they can still do what they love to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's huge breaking out and being a woman in that. And the UFC is obviously, it's been huge male dominant, but of course it's hugely female dominant in recent years too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening there, so that's nothing to take away from. But being the very first cut woman, I mean, that's great. One of the things I wanted to say is, I think, and for obvious reasons, it's a huge breakthrough for a woman to do that. But what I want to make note is I want to show people, like I was kind of saying in the introduction, is not only for women, but regardless of like what you're doing, like if somebody says you can't do something or there's no position for you to do that, like I want to show people, like I just want you to know, and I know you already know this, but everybody listening as well, that you're not only a great example for women to do something, but for anybody that's ever said they or ever been told they couldn't do something, or just, you know, whether it be, you know, gender stereotypes or whatever it is, I just go do it. I mean, I've had my own fair share of people saying, well, you can't do that, or there's no way, you know, you haven't had the technical knowledge to do it, or you've never had you didn't complete college, you can't get that kind of job. And I prove them wrong too. So, and it just gives you more fuel for the fire, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And just never give up. Yeah, nailed it.
It's crazy to me. And you know, like I was saying, I'm just so impressed with, I mean, 12 years is a long time. And I mean, you probably say as much as I would say is that when you do something that you really enjoy, 12 years, yes, it's a long time, but at the same time, you enjoy doing it the whole entire time.
Yeah, exactly. It's been an insane journey. I've loved every second of it, even the negative. I mean, this whole journey, it made me so much as a person. I mean, all the trials and tribulations through, it's like, holy cow, I can handle anything. Been through everything, I can handle anything. And I'm mostly so grateful for that and those life experiences. It is just, I've grown to a completely stronger woman, and that's just been so important in so many aspects of my life. So
absolutely. It just, yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, this happened and that happened. It's like, I am more thankful almost for the negative that's happened than the positive. You know, you have to be able to grow from those things, and I definitely have.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point to make, and I think a lot of people, obviously, fear is a terrifying thing. It can hold you back from a lot of things, the fear of failure, the fear of whatever it is, and maybe all the negativity that surrounds that, and that comes with the failure that may inevitably happen, but you yourself have said that it's those things that may not, they didn't work maybe, or not how you want it to, or you weren't able to excel at this spot at this certain time, or it took this many years, you thought it was going to take this many years, but out of the things that didn't happen, all this friction in your life and all these obstacles have really formed who you are. And then you just said it yourself, like, That made you who you are right now. And then it proves to yourself without a doubt that if you can get through all this and you can literally do what no woman has done before, then what else can you do?
Exactly. Right. Great way you put it. Exactly.
And to me, it's just so cool. And I think when I read, you said you just saw that you wanted to do it. You knew you loved UFC. You loved like the whole scene. And the scene is great. I'm not, for the record, you know, I'm not a huge UFC advocate, but I enjoy watching it. I've had a friend that did it in the past. I loved watching him fight. And I think it's great. If I was to pick like a fighting sport, without a doubt, it would be MMA, you know, above boxing, above anything else. I love it because it's all encompassing and the energy is unreal. And I'm sure more than anybody, you could probably speak for when you're in there, when you're in the octagon and you're, I mean, the energy's got to be unreal. And especially, I mean, for anybody that doesn't know, I guess we should say what a cut man or a cut woman is. What do you do specifically for those people that don't know?
So the job of, or the responsibilities of a cut man or a cut woman is to always, in every moment, keep the fighter safe, whether we're in the back wrapping the fighter's hands, prepping their hands for battle. You know, their safety is most important. You know, I mean, their hands is their art. If they break their hands, they're in big trouble. You know, so inside the octagon and outside the octagon. So we keep them safe in the back. Their hands are wrapped right. You know, to help prevent any type of a breakage during, you know, their competition. And then once the fight starts, we have, you know, if there's any bleeding or swelling between rounds, we keep the fighter safe. We keep them in the fight. We get them to the next round because the fighter needs that next round. So, take care of any bleeding or swelling between the rounds as well.
I mean, it's for you, it's an obvious thing what I'm about to say, but for those listening as well, I mean, it's a huge responsibility. I mean, and like I said, you know, admittedly, I don't know a ton about it. I couldn't speak knowledgeably on the sport. However, when you're wrapping a fighter's hands, I mean, that's incredibly important. I mean, it doesn't, I don't think you need to know that much about a sport to know that, you know, whoever is wrapping the hands, that's an extremely important job. Or like you said, like their career is in your hands. Like if they can't continue the fight because you can't stop the bleeding here or whatever is going on their face or wherever, I mean, that's a huge responsibility, and that's not something to be taken lighthearted. It's a lot of pressure. It's a constant pressure job. And one of the things that I think it was something that I had read was you were like, man, I was so nervous before my first, you know, UFC, the 170. But what I loved what you said was that as soon as I stepped out there, I was in a familiar place and all of it faded away. I knew exactly what to do. And I know what you mean when you say that. Like, I've been in situations, I have, you know, a lot of people that are repeat listeners know I was in the Navy for 9 years. I did a lot of training for certain things. And I was like, man, if I ever get in some crazy situation, I'm probably gonna shit my pants. But I was in, had so much training and I had such great teachers and such great schools that when I was in those crazy situations, you were right, just like you. And that's why I leveled with you. I was like, but everything fades away and you just execute.
Yeah, exactly. It all comes back to you, no matter what chaos is around you. When you're in your spot and you're in your zone, you know exactly what you need to do. And that's exactly how it felt. 'Cause I was so nervous, you know, I mean, every promotion was so different, and what's so great with the UFC is they run like a well-oiled machine. So they made it super easy there, but it was still just chaotic because there's so many more people. And I'm like, oh gosh, they run, I just don't know if I can do the same thing back here as I've done the other ones. And it's like, it's all the same. You do the same thing. And I would just say to myself, blood is blood, swelling is swelling, no matter what star it's on.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
That type of, a lot of people would get, you know, star shot, for instance, like, oh, there's George St. Pierre, you know, there's DC, you know, can I stop it? And so I just have to keep telling myself sometimes, like, you know, blood is blood. It doesn't matter. I know
what absolutely. Yeah, you have to know what your job is. Absolutely. You can't get, you know, starstruck, and, you know, that's badass. Just, there's no other way to put it, that you're able to work with people like that. And but they're lucky to work with you. I mean, because you're the first ever. And I just can't get over it. Doing what you do, unbelievable, high stress situation, and you just, you know, you're clutch all the time. You're clutch all the time. One of the things that I was thinking is that you didn't obviously become a cut woman immediately. For the UFC, mind you. You know, for those that are listening, you, like I stated, started in 06. But talk me through how you got into the UFC.
Yeah, starting back in 2006, I saw my first live show. I wanted to be a part of it. Very, very long story short, I talked to the promoter afterwards. I'm like, I really want to be a part of your show. Of course, know what I wanted to do, because I knew for sure I didn't want to fight. So I did that. And he said I could be a ring girl. I went back for this two-day thing, and I was a ring girl for it. And while I was there, I saw people wrapping hand fighters. And I'm like, you know, there's no greater honor than wrapping the hand of the competitor themselves. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. And you just knew, huh? Immediately.
Immediately. When I saw them, I'm like, you know what? Stop there. Like, this is... And I had no idea where to start. So I'm like, oh, I'll just hop on YouTube and type in, like,
YouTube, MMA hair. YouTube is amazing. I use YouTube for everything. There's no excuse. You can find it on YouTube or Google it.
Yeah, I just Googled it, went to YouTube, and I would just sit at home and practice. And so I was started off in Idaho, and then I was like, I need to go to the fight capital of the world. You know, I need to get to know people. So I would drive 8 hours to Las Vegas, and I'd sit at Randy Couture's gym and, like, you know, just people would let me wrap their hands for their sparring sessions. And I would do that every weekend. I would drive. And
so every weekend you would drive 8 hours to do this?
Well, 16 to be exact, round trip. But
that's nuts. That's what it takes, though.
Yeah, I'm telling you. People ask, and I give them the most disappointing question. They're like, what drove you to do this? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't have the true answer. I just had this deep, burning desire that just keep going.
I think that is the answer, though, right? I mean, the answer is it was this burning desire, as you described it, deep within you. You knew the first time you saw, you know, you did the ring girl thing, And I love that you did what you had to do to, like, essentially, you know, get your foot in the door because you knew you just wanted to be there. It reminds me of a lot of really successful people that I've talked to that did whatever they had to do to get in there because they knew they wanted to be surrounded by those people. And then you're driving 16-hour round trips every weekend to do that. And that's not even, like, you're a mother of two. And that's, like, this is no easy task by itself. And then you're raising two kids, like... The fact, like, all of these things that I've said already, I mean, they're just, it's just rapid fire. Like, you did what you had to do to get your foot in the door. You didn't even care. Like, you didn't want to be, you didn't know immediately, but you knew immediately after doing it, it wasn't for you. And that's fine. Right. It just wasn't for you. But then you're like, all right, I want to do this. So then you, like, laser focused on that. And then you're like, well, I have to drive, you know, 16-hour round trips. So I'm going to do that. And, you know, people may ask you, and I'm sure you'll continue to get interviewed in podcast after podcast or whoever. But I firmly believe, and, you know, who am I? But I think you did know deep inside. And I think that answer that you gave me and you've given others is a great answer that you may not be able to put it into words always. And I think that's fine because maybe there are no words that are great enough to describe the passion that was, you know, burning within you about what you wanted to do. And ultimately you're doing what you love. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is I just loved it. And I didn't get paid for many, many years. I think my first paid gig was when I went pro with WSOF back in 2013, maybe 2012. Yeah. That was my first paid show. So for 6 years, I just loved doing what I did. And I didn't even do the cut side four and a half, 5 years until I even knew that was even a responsibility of a cutman or a cutwoman. I didn't know the responsibilities. Yeah. All I knew at that time was I loved wrapping the hands of the fighter, care of them, and just being that person that they trust to, like, with, you know, their career. I'm like, they're giving me this honor of wrapping their hands. That's huge. That's where it starts, you know? And so I just loved wrapping hands and being in the environment. So that's where I started. And then when I worked my first, like, amateur show, of course for free, because, you know, you don't get paid for these things.
That's an important thing to note, though. I mean, people are like, well, I mean, and that's the crazy thing is, like, not only was it 12 years, but it was, you didn't get paid till, I think, what did you just say, 2013?
Yeah.
I mean, that's years later, and I just don't want to take that lightly, and I know you don't take it lightly because that's tough. I mean, but one, you're doing something you love, but at the same time, it's, you don't get paid. And again, I can see, you know, eye to eye with you. I love this podcast, but I don't get paid for the podcast, but I'm going to do it regardless. Like, it's super fun. I love meeting people like you and sharing your stories. So I totally, that resonates hugely with me.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, and then I learned the cut side of it. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. There's more that I can do. Like, I have more.
Yes.
I'm there and, like, give me the next rap. And like you brought up before, like, I thrive in a stressful environment. Like, good. Of, you know, fight day and, like, the lights and just the pure pressure that I have on me of, like, can she do it? Can she get into the round?
Hell yeah.
Stop. Like, thrive on that. So a lot of people would find, you know, that stressful, and it is stressful, but for me it's all positive stress. And
I'm like, ooh, I love that. I love positive stress.
It's like, I'm gonna show you that I can do it just as good as you, if not possibly better. But it's many supporters of mine, you know. I also have some people that don't support me, and that's okay. And but those people also keep me going, because I'm not gonna let someone, you know, tell me that I can't do something, or I can't necessarily do it as well as someone else. I remember specifically, I was at Ranch Gym, and I was still working my amateur shows, and there was this physical therapist that was there, and I was friends with a few of the other ones. So we were just chatting, waiting for pro practice to start. And, you know, this gentleman, he was like, and who is she? You know, just making conversation. He's like, oh, you know, this is going to be, you know, UFC's first cut woman someday. And he goes, huh. Yeah, right. Good luck.
Oh, man.
And I stay. I'm like, you know what? I remember you. You're one of the people that kept me going. So, those negative things are some of the important things that you need to progress in life in general. So I'm still thanking people that don't even me, you know, and some people, their misconception is, oh, she's in the UFC. You know, she's like in the Olympics of MMA, you know, things just must be butter for her.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like not, you know, things are so much harder when you get to this level, just like
Absolutely
any
not.
Athlete
yeah.
or any pressing up that ladder, shit doesn't get easier. It gets harder. But, you know, again, I thrive on that kind of positive stress. So it all works for me in the end.
Absolutely. There's always, I've learned a lot of things since I started this podcast, but I've also learned that there, unfortunately, is more than likely always going to be some type of negativity, and you have to embrace it. You don't have to necessarily or obviously subscribe to that, but maybe use it like you did to fuel your fire even more. Or me, right. I analyze it, you know, for like the podcast at least, and I'm like, well, maybe can I indeed make this better or make that better? But regardless of what you're doing and what kind of negative feedback you may get, to be able to like turn it around and use it for good is, I think, something that you have to do. You definitely can't sit there and just like be like, oh man, he said I can't be the first cut woman. And just get all down on yourself, because obviously that's not going to do anything for you at all. And if your mind's not right and you start doubting yourself, I mean, they can doubt you all they want, but if you start doubting yourself, then you're not going to do it, right? And I love that you said like the good, what did you say? Like the good negative or the good stress, the good stress. Because I've talked about that too. And that's why I'm like, I knew I have the right person on the podcast right now, because I've talked about like forging stress in your life that's not like naturally occurring stress. It almost sounds like a science project right now. Making stress, changing careers, like that could be stress that, well, you didn't have to change careers necessarily, but you want to better yourself, so it's going to be stressful, but you put yourself in that situation, so it's stressful, but you did it. So it's the same thing that you've described for yourself. This is good stress because you knew you wanted to do this. You know it literally had never been done before, but you're going to do it regardless. And then, you know, you've given examples of people saying you couldn't do it, which I can imagine is super tough, like really tough to hear. And it's super frustrating because you know how much work, you know, every like blood, sweat, tears that you've put in, I'm sure of it, you know, over the years, year after year, I'm sure there were nights that you're like, man, can I? But
there was,
yeah,
there was one, there was more than a few. There was several times. I mean, even being like in UFC is wonderful and great. And I love the colleagues I work for,
yeah,
but there's a lot of hard times. And a few shows back, I even at one started to tell, you know, cause you still have those naysayers. Yeah. I still have people that I strive to gain respect, you know, to get their respect.
Sure,
and I may never get that. And it's hard. I'm a fixer. That's who I am. I fix people. I want to fix the situation. I want to make everything better. And one thing that's still difficult is I can't make everyone like me, no matter how nice or sweet I am. And there was a recent show that I was sitting in the cut room, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just stop. Nothing was going right. It was so rough. I said, even though you're at the you know, the pinnacle, shit's still hard, and it's still a lot of stuff I struggle with. And to be honest, there's still people to get in my head. And I go to the room and I just decompress.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's exactly what this person wanted me to do, was break down and give up, quit. And I'm not going to do it. And, you know, I think about something that stays with me for the hard times too. Ronda Rousey gave me excellent advice once. And I know I've said this in a lot of interviews, it's something really does get me through. She's like, don't you ever let anyone make you feel like you don't deserve to be there. And that should pertain to anyone in any situation.
Absolutely.
Don't let anyone make you feel like you don't belong where you are, because you do. And don't let anyone make you believe that you don't belong there.
Yeah.
And that's me going. But yeah, I still get those down days of like, man, I should just give up, you know, or maybe I should just.
It's tough. And we're human though, you know, I think that's natural. I think, you know, you do have to have the confidence within yourself, and you clearly do, or you wouldn't have gotten this far. But like I said, we're human. I have those tendencies as well to think negatively of myself. I'm working really hard at it. So I definitely understand how that can happen, even as you are actually progressing through your career, you know, in your instance where you could see like, well, you know, I was doing amateur and now I'm doing UFC, and you can physically see that you are progressing in your career, and you can still, as you've said, kind of think like, well, should I, and it's just crazy that the mind can do that, that you can like actually be making these huge career steps and your mind can still be doubting yourself. But then you obviously have the power to be able to get in there and be like, no, I know that thought initially came to my head, but I am choosing not to listen to that thought. And that's a very important thing to say.
Yeah, it's so important, because like you said, we're human.
Yeah.
We have these, you know, instinctual things that go on, and it's just a natural emotion to where negative hurts you. Negative hurt anybody. I don't care who you are, whether they show it or they don't. Negative vibes, negative words, that does hurt people. But you just have to be strong enough to be like, you know what? I must be doing something right if I got people pissed off at me.
Yeah, like, that is such a good point. Like, you have to be doing something right. And like I said, I think you're always gonna have the haters, like, oh my God, I think it comes up all the time, and that sucks for them. It sucks for those people. Like, I'm sorry for you. And I think a huge part of that reason is because they can't do something themselves, and they want to drag people down to their level because they didn't maybe have the guts to do something themselves, or like, there's no way she can do it, or there's no way he can go do that, or whoever the hell it is, like, just because they couldn't do it. And I don't know, I may be talking out my ass, that might not be true, but I think for the most part, like, who are you to talk badly about somebody and say that they cannot do something when you have nothing to do with them? And I think that gives all the more reason of, well, since I've just described this person, that person definitely shouldn't affect the outcome of your life and your career and whatever you choose to do.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's so true. It's harder to deal with the negative people or the negative things, you know, but it's, if you just turn it into a positive and make it a growing point, like, you're just going to come out of it so much stronger. And
absolutely.
Then less, you know, more and more less things are going to affect you as negatively. And it really helps you outside of your, you know, just your professional life. It helps you personally. Like, oh, there's so many negative things happening, when it's like, you know what, those negative things are helping you grow so you can handle everything. And that's, they're just as, just like they say, the failures are just as important as the successes. And that's 100%, couldn't have been more true.
No. And then again, you're absolutely right about that. It's not just career based. It's what you, who you are in your personal life and who you are in your career life. It's all intertwined. Like, if you're a positive person and you're a go-getter at work, more than likely you're a positive person and you're a go-getter in your personal life, with your friends, with your family, with your, you know, your children, your spouse, whoever it is. And I think, and I firmly say that that's why you should strive to be a positive person. Because number one, I think when you are emitting this positivity or negativity, you know, of course, you've all heard everybody say, you know, if you admit this, this is what's going to be reciprocated to you. And it's not even just because you want to have positivity reciprocated to you. I mean, why not? But you want to be good to be good, right? And you want all of those things. So it's just, you're right. It's all intertwined. And another thing you've said is it helps you just be a better person outside, right? So we've just said that. But at the same time, I think a very important life skill is to be able to talk to people like you are. And, you know, we are having a conversation here. And of course, you got to talk to a lot of people at your work right there. And I know, again, you've moved around a lot as a child. I've seen that a lot. And, you know, you were always going around and meeting new people and being in new situations. And that's got to have helped you talk to people, you know, when you meet a new stranger, how to talk to them and have personal skills. Because I'm a huge advocate of, you know, self-education and actually knowing how to talk to people and carry on a conversation. Being in such a situation as a child, and you were moving around so much and being in those situations, it had to help form and shape who you are today.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I moved around so much. I think too, that kind of negatively worked with me, because I get bored really easy.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, which works great for me where I am now without all the travel that I do. It's like, things. And so to me, that's great. But yeah, I mean, I moved around a lot, and my parents, we started out with like the Dunkin' Donuts Corporation. And so have me in there working and working with customers. So they gave me my work ethic really, really early. So and yeah, moving to different places, and like you said, meeting different people, learning all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was great being able to move to a lot of places. But on the other hand, like, I get bored with things easily. I'm like, okay, I'll move on.
So that's good. Yeah, so you get to travel. I was going to say, I mean, like, oh my, I was like, is Swayze going to get bored of being a UFC cut woman? Like, what's next? Like,
passion. And when you find it, you're with it. It's with your life. No, I mean, whether it be UFC or whomever it is, I'm always going to love it. It's going to be my passion.
Yeah.
I've been doing extra little projects on the side, which have been so much fun because it's given me other opportunities to like dabble in things I never thought I'd be a part of. You know, I got to play myself in the hit drama series Kingdom with Nick Jonas and Frank Grillo. I was in three seasons of that. I'm going to do a game show next week, which I'm excited. So, you know, I've got to dabble in these other little things, and it's been so much fun. So that satisfies my, you know, like needing change.
Yeah, I would doing say. Those.
But my passion is MMA, Muay Thai, and boxing. That'll be with me till death do us part.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear it. We can't do it without Swayze in the UFC. And I think it goes all the way back to the beginning when you were talking about proving to yourself that you can do something, because then you're like, not only do you have this like thing that we identified in your childhood of maybe getting bored easily and trying different things, but now you know you've done this, what you set out to do that took over a decade to do. But now you're like, what if I want to do that? I've never done that before. I did this before. I'm going to go do that because I know I can do that. It's not as big and scary as I thought it may be. Or just an incredible thing to remember and never ever forget that I've accomplished this. I'm never going to forget that. I've overcome this huge challenge that I maybe at many times thought I couldn't do, but I did do it. I'm never going to forget that, and I'm going to apply it to the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I hope I can always be an inspiration for people. You know, that's something huge for me. It's like, even for my own kids, I want to be such a great example for my kids. You know, and I teach them a lot of things with the positive and negative things I've gone through, because unfortunately bullying is such a big epidemic right now, you know, in this world. And I experience this with my kids or with other kids that are struggling. And it's like, you know what? People treat you the way they feel inside. It has nothing to do with you. And, you know, and then I taught them things and just chase your dreams. And it sounds so simple, chase your dreams, but you absolutely, if you can think of it, you can achieve it. And that's, everyone I wish could have the gift of knowing what it is that they love to do and that they could just do it.
I agree with everything you've said, for the record, and I that's a huge part of all of this and helping people find their passion, because you know you are obviously the first person that I've talked to that is a cut woman, being the only one, but you know, I haven't even talked to anybody. Yeah, right. Ta-da. Like, here I am. What were your other two wishes? Like, but no, you're like the only person I've talked to that's been involved with the UFC. So it's like a huge breakthrough for the podcast. It's super cool. It's just incredible. And you know, I'm going to show all these careers, and they're inspirational stories. They're not always career based. And yours happens to, you know, go past both of those. Now, because you've done this and you can show this, now I can show other people that, hey, maybe there's a career out there or something that you don't even know you're passionate about because you didn't even think it was on the table. Look at Swayze. Look at what Swayze did. You know, she did this. It literally wasn't on the table, and you just took it off and you took a big bite, and now you got the whole thing. So I hope that somebody else listened to this, or they're watching it on YouTube and they're like, hey, she did it. There's something I've always wanted to do. I didn't think it was possible, but there are people that are going out there, and regardless of what people say, you know, all the haters that you had, even now people saying you can't do it, you're doing it. So maybe they're like, all right, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to take the first step. But what I want them to recognize, and I've stated at least twice already because I think it's a very important part to not forget, is that it's been years. It's been years, and you did it pro bono for quite a while. I mean, you like you said, you did what it took to get your foot in the door. You were the ring girl, and then you just went to the gym. Yeah, you went to the gyms, and you just wrapped hands. You were driving 16-hour round trips. Like, there's so many important pieces to this puzzle that you can't just see like, here you are now. Here's Swayze now in 2018, November, about to go to Argentina with the UFC and about to do all this badass shit, which is awesome. But you can't just like be like, oh man, she just got there. Because that's like the hugest insult ever. Like, it's not even remotely true. And that's what this is about. So I'm just like so glad that you've shared all this with me. And then I love seeing it. Another reason I knew you're great to speak to on here is because it was coming out in your other interviews as well. Like, it's been this long and I've done all this stuff. Like, it's not an easy road, but you can do it. It is possible.
Yeah. And I'm all about being positive. And I know I feel like I've kind of been a negative Nancy this time I've been talking to you, but
No.
Always like just positive, 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 and because that's usually how I am. But I'm thinking, you know what? I think I need to start speaking about the not side of things, and so people can understand that it's not just gonna be easy as butter to get where you need to be.
Yeah,
I didn't just come here and get the job, you know. And there's been misconception of, you know, people thinking, oh, she's a woman, she just walked right in, or she slept her way to the top, or, you know, I've heard all the stories. Well, you have to have those negative, you know, things to push you, to keep you going. It's either going to make you or break you. I just think it's equally important to talk about the struggles.
I think you're doing the right thing.
They have those struggles and they're like, nope, I just can't do it. Like, I'm just going to quit. It just must not be for me. And it's like, no, that's the road, you know, that's the road bump you have to get over to get to the next step. You know, I don't want people to get discouraged if things aren't going as smoothly as they thought it would, that it's not meant for them.
No, you're right. I fully support that. I think the continued transparency of what you like to do is a very important aspect of teaching others. And that's yet another pillar that I try to base this podcast on, is not only figuring out things for yourself, but showing other people's. And you're helping by sharing your story with all these different outlets and all these different mediums. And I absolutely love the positivity, and I know you're going to do it. I don't have to be like, yeah, Swayze, continue to be positive. Like, you're awesome to talk to. You're bubbly. You're cool. You got it. I'm not worried about it. But I think you're doing the absolute right thing with being transparent. I try to be transparent in my life. Like, I want to see, like, I'm not just, I mean, I don't have that many people that are watching the podcast, but if and when, I promise not to talk badly about myself. I just had this conversation, but like with somebody else. I was talking to Shauna Frigno. She's like, stop talking bad about yourself. I was like, I can't. Anyways, I want to be like, hey, I didn't just start here. Here's literally my track record of, you know, 100 conversations. This is number 33. You know, these are all the conversations that I've done. The transparency is good. It shows that very rarely do people just get handed them, you know, the silver spoon. I get it, it happens, but more times than not, people work their ass off for it. So that's what you've done. I would encourage you to, you're thinking the right thing when you say, I want to show this transparency. I'm all for it. I'm trying to do that here, and people need to know that, because they don't need to see, or they do need to see, like, celebrate your victories. Absolutely, 100%, you know, with your positivity, but also talk about all the other things. But no, I know you're going to continue to be transparent no matter what. I know you're going to continue to be positive no matter what. And I fully support that. It's incredible. And I like that you're thinking about that, because you know, obviously people are listening and watching and reading everything, you know, who you're talking to throughout all of these interviews and articles and podcasts. So it's important. And I know it can be tough to be transparent, because a lot of people maybe don't want to talk about or hear about the negativity, and they just want to hear about the success stories. But, you know, like I was saying 2 seconds ago, like, I always want to be the example of, it's just not a smooth transition. It's never, because that's not life. We all know life is like super difficult. There's a lot of bad shit that happens. So when things are going right for ourselves, we should talk about them, and we should celebrate our victories, as I was saying, but at the same time, be like, hey, these are all the things that went wrong, and I would like to teach you about how I went through this and maybe help you.
A lot of people don't want to feel alone. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, I'm only one.
Did you, I know you talked about it being tough, being in the octagon and having to work with these people that may or may not trust you at the beginning. Now, do you have to like gain the respect of anybody, or how did you, I mean, you, I know you just, you said it yourself, you worked hard, you worked your butt off, but I feel like, and again, I relate a lot of things to myself because I'm trying to put myself in your shoes and see how it was for me. But I've been in positions where I had to prove myself as well to be like, I was the go-to guy for certain things. And I guess you just were like, I'm going to work as hard as I can and I'm going to prove to them, right? Like physically show them that I can do it, right?
Yeah. And I still, even being in the UFC, there's still people that don't want me to wrap their hand. Or I there's a lot of less trust. And I'm always more willing to do that because I want their trust. That's so important to me. I will never stop working to earn everyone's trust that I work with. But a lot harder for some people. I still have some of those people that aren't ready. And those are the ones that I will never stop working for. So I still deal with it today.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've touched on it. It's always going to happen. It's extremely difficult. But, you know, like we've said, you just, all you can do is, You do what you can do, and you do it as well as you can do it, and you go in there and you just clear all the clutter and the BS out of your head, and you just make it happen. You've clearly made it happen, and it's incredible to see, like, to where you go from here. And I know you may not, I mean, sometimes you just got to enjoy where you've gotten to, right? I think, and people may ask you, like, well, what's next, or where are you going to go next? Well, maybe sometimes it's like, if you've gotten to where you want to go, maybe you just need to, you know, relish in the fact that you've gotten there.
Exactly.
But like you were saying, I think having a transparent mind is very good as well. And having negative things that push you as well is very good too. Because negative things are inevitably going to happen to you. It happens all too often sometimes. And that's just the cards you're dealt, right? So what really helps define a person is, how are you going to react to those situations? And then, like, what good are you going to see in those situations? And then, like, you're talking about having that transparency is very important because you want to show people, like, especially if, you know, you're going to continue to tell your story, you want to be like, well, my story just wasn't all roses and rainbows and bad stuff happens too, but this is how I got over it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, you have to have that negative. That's what you learn. That's in this industry or in many different things. You need those negative things to kind of keep you on your toes. Make sure you're doing your best and stuff like that. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's tough. And I think one of the toughest parts about that is, so it's easier for your, you know, you and I to look at each other and talk about that like that. But I know when you're going through really difficult things, and God, I mean, I can't even begin to put myself in some of the shoes, you know, that you've worn throughout the years, like we were talking about, it's 12 entire years, and that's tough. But it's easier to talk about after the fact, but when you're going through it, we all know it's really difficult to have this positive mindset and this, like, essentially the spin mindset while you're in the moment. So the fact that you're still in the moment, because your journey and your story is still being told, so the fact that you're doing that now and then continuing that is awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, like I was saying, you know, not too long ago, one of my last shows, I mean, there's still so many struggles. And I was at a moment where I was like, you know what? Like, I should just quit. And they don't always go great, yeah. But they were just bad at this time. And it's just like, you know what? And I really questioned it. And then I got home and I'm like, you know what? Nope, I'm not going to let anyone, again, make me feel like I don't care. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're my colleague next to the same thing or boss or whatever it may be.
Well, Swayze, we're going to have to, I know you have so many things going on in your life right now. I mean, you're going to, like we said, Argentina soon. You're doing recordings, you know, and new shows. And you're doing so many things, wonderful things. And I would absolutely love to touch base with you in a few months or a year and see, you know, I'm going to continue, you know, seeing your journey, but I'd like to have you on the podcast again and, like, catch up with you and see how things are going for you again. And then I think you'll have a whole, because like I said, your story is still unfolding. So to be able to, like, tell the next part of the story always, I think, is a very exciting thing. So as always, I'm so, so thankful of people's time that come on the podcast. And I know just you're so busy, you're raising two kids, and like it's bonkers nuts, and I get it, you know, it's crazy over here too, so for us to be able to align and get this recording done is amazing, so thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, so what's the best place for people to find you? Is it Facebook or Instagram?
I'm more on Instagram, Sneaky Valentine's, but I check them all, so Twitter, Facebook, yeah. Any of them.
And I'll get back to you for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll definitely, you know, include that in the summary, and we'll make sure they follow your journey as well, because it's pretty incredible. I mean, you're literally, as we've said, blazing the path that something has never been done before. So for you to be on here, give me your time, and for me to learn from you and share your story again is something I'm very thankful for. So thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, Swayze, we'll see ya.
Thank you. We'll see you later.